But all right, guys, we're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod. You're listening to the finally back behind the sticks, talking some prestige cinema. The 95th Oscars extravaganza presented by Matt and Bob. We're finally gonna be getting down on getting on the ground floor. You know, the nominations just come out. This is a review pod. Gonna get some reactions from one guy that's seen almost everything and a guy who works in business.
Guy who works in business. Guess the goal of the audience is to guess who.
Yeah. No, this would be fun. I mean, the nominations were posted yesterday, and you know, I know we both have some thoughts. I mean, should we just dive right in, or what are you excited for the Oscars? Is your enthusiasm waning for awards in general? Where are we at?
Bobby Bones. What does that name mean to you? Bobby Bones.
Is that your Oscar prognosticator side hustle?
No, it
like,
is not.
Like Cousin Sal?
That is incorrect. So Bobby Bones almost single-handedly ruined Dancing with the Stars. It was already a show that was flirting with fraudulence. And he came in and, you know, there's Dancing with the Stars. There's people of different fan groups and popularity ranges. But it was kind of like the composite of the scores was like judge basing and audience scores. And obviously, you know, audience scores, there was people that were always like really, there were celebrities, but also like really good at the actual dances. And then there was just people who got kind of pushed along because they had really large fan bases. But inevitably, when it got to the finals, the people that had relatively large fan bases, but also good at the dancing would win. And then Bobby Bones he was very average or below average at dancing, but he ended up winning Dancing with the Stars. They had to reformat the whole show. The show ended up leaving primetime and going to Disney Plus, and it basically killed people's enthusiasm for the show because him winning was so fraudulent.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for going on that journey with me. I know it was a lot of preface, but I think if fake Elvis wins for best actor this year, he is Bobby Bones. I will be out. You basically should put the Oscars on Disney Plus because I will be so done and so disenchanted with like what the sentiment of winning an Oscar for an acting performance. I will be so disenchanted that I'm going to walk away completely.
This would be the nail in the coffin for you that was started with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Very upset. I thought, and I know there's people that you have to be able to separate your affection for the actual icon with the performance and achievement and performance of someone mimicking them. And I think the Academy is way too eager to praise what I consider to be almost glorified SNL impressions. Like I don't value these performances, especially if they're in like subpar or below average movies. And I cannot believe after how I felt watching the Elvis movie that it has the amount of nominations that it has. Like, I'm very close to just being like, I'm done. I know me and you just going through this and like doing competitions every year is already, we know that we're treating it with more respect than it probably deserves. But like, I at least for a while had like affection to what the actual like winning of some of these marquee topics were. And I'm just like, if Elvis wins, man, it's gonna break my heart.
Totally. I thought that movie was basically trash, except Austin Butler, I thought was pretty impressive, I guess. But the movie itself was bad. We always focus on like who had the most nominations, blah, blah, blah. Those usually, so the headlines are who had the most noms and then where were the snubs? And I just hate both of those talking points. But Elvis was it's the most confusing recognition of all these movies, I think, just the amount of nods it got. I mean, honestly, I guess you could nominate him. But other than that, I don't know why any other, like the editing I thought was terrible. And it's nominated for editing.
Worst. Yeah. It's, I just think that there's production design. There's a lot. I really didn't like that movie. And the fact that it's on any of these lists at all, it really feels like they are just bending a lot. They're alienating their core audience, which was me and you for the longest time. And, you know, we liked to celebrate achievement in filmmaking. And I know we're sounding like a bunch of fart sniffers right now with wine glasses up our butt, but like, it's like we celebrated the achievement in these practices. And now it seems to be bending on that to let in popular movies. But I'm also confused because like, Elvis wasn't popular. Like, I haven't heard anyone just jacked up about Elvis. A lot of people were pretty critical about it. So I don't know. I'm just, I know I sound like a grumpy old man. So let's maybe, before we get into the discussion, what was your favorite Oscar party moment that we've ever had between the two of us? Favorite Oscar bet, either one.
You know what it was? It's probably going to be this forever, but it was the first time we threw a party, even though we marketed it as the 90th time we had thrown the party.
Fair enough.
we had a smattering of people come over. We got the red carpet out. Although Cameron was
also my favorite moment, so I guess we'll take some time here.
I'll
decorate the apartment. Yeah. And there's this old, crusty, probably had multiple seeds of spillage.
Sure. Yeah.
But there's this old red twist tie blanket that this guy's grandmother or somebody had made him. But we'd laid it down to look like the red carpet because it's a crusty old carpet.
It was a CMU like burgundy, just like quilt
quilt thing. But yeah. not anything that took time to craft by any means. But
no, I think it was a bookstore purchase. I don't think anyone had built it.
Yeah, you would have thought that we were attempting to have people without their shoes on walk across a family heirloom or some sort of family crest.
Like, it was, you can't use that as the carpet.
You can't use that, man. That's my throw blanket that my aunt bought me from the bookstore.
All right, take the carpet out.
Never mind. No red carpet this year. But okay.
I mean, it was like a poor attempt at a red carpet anyway. It's, you know, dark burgundy. Anyway, the Cameron carpet pull-up.
My other favorite memory before, besides Cameron's carpet, was the year of La La Land and Moonlight. And, you know, we had, I at that point was making actual statues that said Oscar champions that the winning guest from the party got to take home. And Barry picked La La Land for his ballot because he thought it would win, even though he liked Moonlight. La La Land gets announced. I'm handing Barry the trophy in real time, and then they switched it, and I had to pull the trophy out of his hands. Aligned, running parallel to the actual production, that the real La La Land producers getting it pulled out of their hands, and I had to set it into somebody else's hands. Kathleen, a fiance of one of my buddies. So anyway, that was always memorable as well.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, that was the wildest moment in Oscars until the slap, right? Which is just so jaw-dropping.
No,
all right, well, let's get into this thing here. So Best Picture, All Quiet on the Western Front. I'll just list them and we can go back. Avatar, The Way of the Water, Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Give Me a Break, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick. Bob, right. You see this movie?
The mop and bush it out.
Triangle of Sadness and Women Talking, a movie that's not even released yet. I don't know a single person that's seen it. I don't know how people were voting for this, but nevertheless. So let's go back up at the top. All Quiet on the Western Front.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, so that came out on Netflix a while ago. I saw it because it was like, Netflix recommends. I'm like, oh yeah, like a war movie. This looks pretty good. I saw it. I didn't think about it again. But it's gotten a lot of love. I think it's up for like cinematography and a few things here.
Your classic war movie, war epic. It's going to give you some scenic views, some human drama. So
And I think this speaks to kind of the expansion of the Oscar sort of international voting block, right? Where you see kind of these, you know, the director Lanthimos slip in here, mm-hmm. Triangle of Sadness. I think it's Ruben Östlund, but yeah, I think you're seeing kind of like the nominations get mixed up a bit more here. But mm-hmm. Yeah, Avatar: The Way of the Water. We haven't got a chance to talk about that. What it?
I saw it. I saw it over Christmas. My younger brother Mike wanted to see it, and then I also realized that he needed to kill time while he got his iPhone looked at. So it was more of an iPhone time kill. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised because we waited all this time for technology, and I thought there would be kind of advancements in the viewing experience. And it really felt a lot like the first Avatar when I watched it. Just, I didn't really see like a lot of breakthrough technically mm-hmm. from the first one to the second. It just felt like more of the same. Only we were underwater a lot. I think a lot of I don't have like an issue, like I'm not angry at Avatar, but I think a lot of the creative elements and this is the same with a lot of James Cameron movies, a lot of the creative elements go into the visual effects and like not at all in terms of performance, character, or story. You know, it's all in the technical elements, and you know, it kind of feels like just watching a Disney ride for 3 hours.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was pretty impressed by it. I mean, the first Avatar, I was absolutely blown away. Like that hype was so real. Seeing that in IMAX on Navy Pier, the goggles on, it's like the first time 3D was cool at all.
Yeah, I think me and you saw that together.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit! I mean, like, you know, not until Dark Knight was there a more exciting experience. Like I was just like so blown away. And this one, it's just like, yeah, okay, they've improved it and it's a little bit more of the same. I get the water stuff was gorgeous, and you got that tingly feeling where you're seeing something pretty amazing. I guess that
it's
was
a spectacle though. Obviously like the rules of drama, like back to college though, and it's just like spectacle is the least important in terms of Plato's law, right? And it's just, I think it's just, it's, if it's just spectacle and you're not in the story is so paint by numbers. And I honestly think Spider, the character, is so bad that it should
I had a huge problem with that Spider.
Spider
character.
Was one of the worst characters in the last 10 years of filmmaking. And I
was so annoyed by his presence or his. Yeah.
But where's Spider? Get the fuck out of here. And then Spider goes and saves the Avatar version of his dad. It's like, oh my God, that was so unearned.
Yeah.
I thought that was enough to take you out of any sort of best picture running in general. But I guess maybe plot doesn't fucking matter in movies anymore. I don't know.
I think they want to recognize kind of the moving the medium forward, the next big achievement in filmmaking, and you know, and Big Jim is revered, and he loves being underwater.
Yeah, James Cameron, the explorer
of the sea. James so I had a huge problem with
the bar, as South Park said.
Yeah, I just had such a problem with like the whole kids in general, and I guess they're going to be the focus going forward. Apparently, whatever his name is, the kid is going to be now the voiceover going forward in the next ones.
Because they're all set with Sam Witherspoon or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But anyway,
there's no way that this can win because there's like six more coming. So it's like they're not gonna blow their load handing out a ton of awards for Avatar.
You think this is like the Two Towers of the series?
Yeah, they're going to weigh in any sort of like best picture. I think they're going to hold off and give it to the last one, like whatever the last one's going to be. I think that's really good. Or maybe it just becomes the more that it goes on, it's almost like Pirates of the Caribbean, like the less they'll praise them.
I think it'll be diminishing returns because this was a 10 year jump, and now they're all kind of like backloaded and ready to go with. I think they're set with the technology, right? Like mm-hmm. they're not going to have 10 years to improve it going forward.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of Pirates of the Caribbean, where, like, you know, Johnny Depp was praised, and then, you know, like, I can't remember if it was nominated for Best Picture. I doubt it, but it was before the 10
There's
rule.
no way.
But I think it was like the most praise it was ever going to get was on its first release, and then the more that came out, it was less and less going, less and less recognized.
This is going to be a like a special effects juggernaut. I don't know if it's winning anything else. And, you know, we always look to like the best director to kind of like whittle down what are the five
Yeah.
competing films. And, you know, James Cameron, I thought had a chance to get in here, but he's not represented. So I think he just fills out the 10.
Yeah.
And away we go. So Banshees of Inisherin next up, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I think Gut Check Time. I think it's going to be everywhere all at once, and then maybe this falls into number two as the competing for best picture. I would say Tar is also competing. Those are my three. What about you?
Yeah, I think Everywhere All at Once would be, just seeing as the way it's been going with like Coda, and then, you know, even like going back a few years with Parasite, like they're starting to get more less cookie cutter, I guess, with the types of movies they're celebrating. They're branching out a little more, and I think Oscar voters and just the public in general is really going to like the narrative of this little movie that could, this like creative
did really good business, kind of unlike anything we've ever seen in a way.
Yeah, well, just like the even just the approach to filmmaking was really creative. I think they love the Indiana Jones guy story. There's you know, it's kind of a different family dynamic than we're used to. I think just it has a lot of, and I also think it was just like really well written. And
yeah.
So you've got the Daniels that did really well with the direction of the movie. I think, you know, I thought it was the best script, or one of the best scripts this year. I assume it's going to be recognized for original screenplay. So you've got a few actors in there. Like, it seems to have a lot of the elements that you would want to have.
Well, yeah, unlike Coda, it's highly nominated. A lot of acting awards or nominations, screenplay, our favorite category. You know, like just kind of really recognizing the creativity of everything everywhere. I think it's definitely
three
the favorite.
Actors in the supporting categories. You've got a lead actress. So, I mean, it's going to be... I think it's going to win. Like, that's gonna
yeah. Win. This could be maybe not sweep category, but I think it's definitely taken down quite a few of the 11. Now, just to stay on Banshees real quick, I think me and you might differ on this, because I see this winning Best Original Screenplay, and maybe just falling short of
a little teaser
for the bet.
Okay.
I love the dialogue on this. I'm a huge sort of like, you know, UK guy. Theater queer,
a theater turd.
Got you know, McDonough. I just love the. I thought the script was so
great.
Great, yeah. Lovely movie, and maybe not quite enough to push it into Best Picture territory, but you never know.
Yeah, his movies. He's never won Best Picture though. Did Four Billboards win?
No,
or Three Billboards? Excuse me, I added an extra billboard. But yeah, Three Billboards didn't win. I don't know. This like kind of quieter, introspective, dark comedy about mortality and people grappling with that. I just don't know if that's the type of movie that they're handing Best Picture these days. Like, maybe.
Yeah, it's very quiet.
But
I mean, the dark humor of it, I think, has turned a lot of people off that I've talked to. I don't know, because you have to be a McDonough fan, I think, and
yeah.
I'm such a huge In Bruges fan, and to see the three guys come back, we've already talked about all this, but In Bruges is such a blast, and this is much more maudlin, and I think it's turned people off. I was really shocked that this didn't get cinematography nomination.
That's a good point.
And we can talk about that category in just a second, because I think it's very strange what was and what wasn't for that.
But think about this, like they when they award Best Picture, automatically there's a bump. It's not a huge bump anymore, but there's still like an interest bump where it's like, oh, Best Picture. And a lot of people who have been on the sidelines at least go check out like a couple of the marquee awards, right? You're going to check out like Best Actor Performance if they hadn't yet. They'll probably check out Best Picture. I can't imagine millions of people that just are kind of casuals flipping on that movie and being, they're going to go, what the fuck? Like, you know, versus like the experience of flipping on Everything Everywhere All At Once. I'll be like, yeah, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. And oh, it's the idiot. Like, there's going to like the experience of like discovering that movie late in the process.
It's more fun. It's more exciting. Yeah. Now, I think the first half hour of Banshees is very sort of like witty and funny.
Yeah, but you've got like cannibal, like donkey death. You know, it's like, oh, and we loved it, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
It's like, I just don't see if they're trying to get more people interested in the awards they're recognizing, they would do themselves publicly in marketing wise, they would do themselves a better service to send them to like a more fun movie with Jamie Lee Curtis with like hot dog feet.
Totally. Now, McDonough is up for Best Director. You've got my favorite to win Best Lead Actor, Colin Farrell. I think that's really deserving. I haven't seen The Whale yet. I don't think you have either. So jury's out. But it's definitely a three-horse race. I love seeing Paul Mescal from After Sun in there.
Haven't seen that yet. What's After Sun about? Give me an elevator pitch on it.
Elevator pitch. A young girl is turning 30 and remembering the last vacation she took with her dad when he was of the same age. And kind of looking back at their vacation caught on tape. And it's about a man struggling with depression while also trying to raise a daughter after recently getting divorced.
Okay, that sounds like a my kind of movie, actually.
It's pretty incredible.
I love these like emotional domestic drama think pieces. So give me a nice sell. Thank you for the elevator.
Yeah, it's all about remembrance. And it's very emotional. So yeah, that's a solid category there. I just like whoever takes down Austin Butler, I'm a fan.
Someone beat him so that
somebody,
because I promise you, I will be out if they give it to Fake Elvis. I'm out. I'm fucking done.
That's like a classic Golden Globes win, and I just hope we just never have to think about it again. You know, like right. Oh, Golden Globes, yes. Oscars, get out of here.
Very concerned.
Want to maintain the integrity of the Academy Awards,
you can't give. If like you did your whole out on a limb fraudulent win to Rami Malek, I will debate anybody that wants to tell me that was an achievement in performance. Like at least Austin Butler was singing. Like, but like I don't even think that both of those movies were so poor. The performance is really the only reason to watch them. But and speaking of, we also have Blonde in here as well, right? But
yeah, oh god, yeah, one of the most horrific movies, just grotesque, but. Similar movies, actually.
Yeah.
In that regard. But and then so the less said about Elvis, the better. I just want to point out that it's 77% Rotten Tomatoes. I think it actually did pretty good business. I think it made some good money as far as a blockbuster. I think it made money. So there you were saying that not a lot of people were into it. And I think maybe a small sample size, I would agree, but on the larger whole, people are just into biopics that, and you know, with the spectacle of the concert experience. And then moving on, we talked about Everything Everywhere. The Fablemans, a movie me and you both just did not connect with and was kind of a snooze. Really surprised at how little I enjoyed this.
Not surprised that it's here though.
No. The Academy loves Spielberg for obvious reasons. He's up for director. You got a few acting nominations that, real quick, best supporting actor, your guy, Judd Hirsch, sneaks in.
Hey, I said he was the best part of the movie. That's
little 8-minute cameo gets him an Oscar nom.
There are no small parts. Act well the part, and therein lies the glory.
Right. There you go. A lot of people are like, I think just because of Spielberg, they're like, it's a favorite. It's in the top five. It's for director. I really don't see this got no momentum whatsoever. I mean, I just don't see this doing anything. Do you?
I don't either. I just think they're looking to, I think they're trying to appreciate these iconic filmmakers that are towards the end of their time in cinema. And, you know, these guys are doing at this point in their career, they're doing the movies that they've always been meaning to do, but just for commercial purposes or, you know, whatever else that they didn't have the time or resources to. And I think they're trying to celebrate some of that. And I just, that would be the only main reason to give this movie the best picture, is because they're trying to do a traditional type Oscar movie and reward a filmmaker who for a long time in his career, like, wasn't recognized and was constantly, people thought was getting snubbed. And so it would be like, hey, like, here's some makeup acclaim.
That's what the Lifetime Achievement is for. I mean, this is such a classic Oscar Best Picture win, right? Like, of Days Gone By. This is your put up the billboard. This is winning it hands down. It's the magic of movies. It's Spielberg. I just think they sold this movie in a weird way. It's a very quirky, bizarre movie. It's also up for Best Original Screenplay. So it's in all the big ones. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Michelle Williams there, just such a bizarre role. I don't know, just it didn't do it for me. I just didn't connect with that. And I think you're on the same page.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, let's move on. We got Tar. I don't know. We never got a chance to talk about this.
No, we had it on the docket, but one of us is in business and the other one isn't. So we didn't have time to do the recording. This is a classic Cate Blanchett vehicle.
The highest of highbrows. This is this year's
Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine meets the Year of the Slog.
Yeah. It's a really hard sell, especially for the first hour, where it's just kind of nuanced composer talk. Oh, well, this particular lead chair played this particular blah, blah. I can't even do a mocking the conversation and the dialogue
are just
so highbrow that I can't even mock it, because I don't know half the words that are in that book.
In Maher's third movement, of course, the Bernstein really. Yeah, I can't. I don't have the reference level to even parody the New Yorkiest of New Yorker interviews.
It's like Billy Madison, where he's trying to study and he's like, I understand 9 words in that book now, and it's like that's like how I feel. Like, oh, I understood half that. I understood half that part of the conversation. Cool. And then,
yeah.
But as it descends, as mm-hmm. she unravels, and as her grip on her power and her role starts to unravel, I did start to find it pretty thrilling. You just had to go with that filmmaker for that first hour and be like, what the fuck am I in right now? But I by the end
when
that movie ends, I was pretty satisfied.
There's also a chance it's like a 5-star film.
Like, you know what I mean? Back to it in a few years and we're like, holy shit, that was actually super underrated.
Yeah. Now here's, Whiplash really got me into like kind of jazz. You know, it was accessible and I was like, oh, I don't know anything about this, but this is thrilling. Tar did not do the same thing for me for concert concerto direct.
Composers. Or yeah, not composers, maestro.
Classical composition. It was less accessible, but I think it's extremely well made. Cate Blanchett is a monster, of her craft, not the character. But like, I watched it twice now.
Monster too.
Yeah, and I'm pretty into it. I mean, I took a weed gummy and it kind of kicked on in the first part, which requires way more attention than I had at the time. So I had to give it a rewatch, and I think it's really good.
Now, bring it the back of your hand.
Yeah, there's a argument to be made for preferential balloting here. So I think a lot of people will have this 2 or 3, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you could see Banshees at 1 and other people drop it down, Everything Everywhere at 1 or all the way down. I think Tar is going to be right up at the top and it could sneak in. I think that's what happened with Coda. It was like everyone's number 2.
2, yeah.
So there's a chance that this, Coda had 5 or so nominations, this has 6. So there's an argument to be made that this is sitting there ready to pounce. You got director, you got lead actress, you got I think it's got to be screenplay. Yeah, original screenplay. Those are the signs that we could see a Tar victory. But
okay, let me take you back through that experience again. I'm Joe Smitherman, and I haven't watched any of these. I'm like, oh, Tar, Best Picture, Kate Blanchett, she does some good stuff. Let me turn this on. And what the fuck? I'm never watching the Oscars.
To be fair, Joe Smitherman sounds like a guy that would absolutely love this movie. He's, he lives in upstate New York. Or no, he's a Manhattanite, just like it was probably the first movie he watched.
The name of the fake person I came up with was, I guess, somebody that would vote for Tar.
Yeah. Actually, he probably hated it because it didn't really capture Maher's third movement as well as he had hoped. Now let's move
to
the
totally off base.
Real quick, who gut check time again here? Michelle Yeoh over Kate Blanchett. This is the closest lead actress has been in quite a while. Usually, it's locked up and it's like so obvious. I think this is neck and neck. I mean, do you agree? Or
yeah, the only thing is, you know, Kate Blanchett's kind of in the LeBron James type. You've got to outdo.
Could be the Emmy. Could be MVP every single year.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I guess that's not the case with LeBron James anymore. But I think it's just like, yeah, you. A lot of those years, you could be MVP every year, but you need to have an achievement against some of your previous achievements in order to receive that. And I think that they're going to say, all right, we've already rewarded this person. Or I guess we could say Meryl Streep is very similar. It was like, okay, we've already praised this person a ton of times. She has multiple wins. You need to, this is kind of similar feeling as a different performance that we rewarded with Blue Jasmine. So we'll give it to this person who's kind of making a breakthrough.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're leading Michelle Yeoh, and so am I. I just think it's a better story to have her up there. I think both extremely deserving. Also, I mean, what Ana de Armas did in Blonde, just coming out of a ugly movie and putting the performance that she did is pretty incredible, and thus the nomination, but that's where it stops. Mm-hmm. Michelle Williams, sure. Andrea Riseborough, I just want to talk about this briefly. I'm not on film Twitter, Letterboxd, neither are you. I don't think we're tapped into like the internet discourse. But this movie, which I had never heard of at all, To Leslie, I guess this woman's kind of had a late, like a last minute viral marketing push. She got all of her celebrity friends to be like, this is the best thing I've seen all year. She should win every award. And it worked, and she's nominated. So I know a little bit about that. I'm sure you haven't really heard about it, but yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to get back to Maverick in just a second. Triangle of Sadness. Now this is a movie I think you should watch. You haven't seen it yet. It won Cannes, if you care about that. Yeah.
Get in the elevator with me. Give me the pitch, because I'm already in on the first one. So
So you got
this is Triangle of Sadness.
Triangle of Sadness. It's eat the rich. Capitalism sucks. Let's put a bunch of rich people on a yacht and make them throw up their Michelin star food and laugh at them, and then put them on strand them on an island and see who. It's almost like Lord of the Flies. It's really funny because it builds up these ridiculous people. You got the model celebrity Instagram.
Isn't Woody Harrelson in this?
Woody Harrelson is hilarious as the drunken sea captain who crashes this yacht.
He must be an alcoholic in real life because he's always playing alcoholics.
Right. Yeah, it definitely fits the bill. Yep. Also up for best director, Ruben Östlund, we talked about. I think it's up for screenplay. So best original screenplay. The original screenplay category is stacked.
Always.
Banshees, Everything Everywhere, Tar, Triangle of Sadness, and then The Fablemans. But all, I mean, incredible.
None of The Fablemans.
just always our favorite category. These are where your best pictures are in original screenplay. Yeah. So I highly recommend Triangle Sadness. I love that it's nominated.
Where can I find that? Or I guess I can go do that research on my own. But I would like to streaming
Netflix,
right now.
Sure.
So it's on one of the streamers. Okay.
Yeah.
Justwatch.com will always tell you where you can find some of these movies. Okay, so my two are After Sun and
Triangle of Sadness. Yeah, big recommend on those two. It looks like it's a rental for $6. So yeah. But that's a super fun one. Or $5.99. Then we got Women Talking.
It's not even out yet.
Yeah, it's not out. I haven't seen it. It's about the Mennonites, the
Men, women.
they meet up and they start talking. A lot of women talking on screen.
It's the one where Frances McDormand gets to go and, you know, scream at people and, you know,
Boys
in that. So.
Yeah, heavy hitters. It looks very Oscar-y.
Is Miss Mara in it? Is Rooney in it, I think?
Yeah, Rooney Mara. Mm-hmm. And then Jesse Buckley.
That's one of your people, Jesse Buckley.
She was great in Forgotten, The Lost Child.
Lost Child, or was that the one? That was the one with Olivia Colman in it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, but do you want to talk about quickly what could have gotten in there? Like RRR, I thought maybe The Woman King, Babylon.
No love for Babylon.
Yeah, no. Well, I think it got love for what it deserves, like score, art direction, production design. I mean, those are the best parts about the movie and kind of the reason I loved it for those specific reasons, like just the grand nature of it. And a lot of people hated the rest of it. But anyway, so Top Gun Maverick, Best Picture nominee, probably the biggest movie of my personal podcasting career.
All right.
I mean, this is now my top 10. I've seen it 5 times. It's never diminished. It's one of the most exciting movies of the year. Banshees is my favorite non-Top Gun movie of the year, but just so excited. I mean, is there a chance this wins, Bob?
If it wins, it might be the opposite of how I feel about the Elvis movie, where if it wins, it completely reinvigorates me towards how hilarious. It's definitely the most popular movie this year.
Yeah.
It does have breakthroughs in the, you know, editing and, you know, some of the technical components of the movie.
Yeah.
I think just the absurd nature of that beach scene where he shows up in his white naval officer uniform and they just have that weird makeout scene. I think that alone might not be taking credit away from the achievement in this film. I think that's
no Tom Cruise for best actor, which I wasn't expecting, but tell you all you need to know about its chances maybe. But
if it wins, then I'll be very happy for you. I don't think it's realistically it has a chance.
By far the most exciting experience for me at the movies, I'll just say that.
Was the box office, like that was its win this year.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't need to win anything because it reopened theaters, like for real. I know, like Tenet tried, No Time to Die, you know, got it going a little bit, the Spider-Man movie a little bit. And then Doctor Strange, I guess. But this is really what got people back to the movies, Top Gun, multiple times.
Yeah.
And I just want to quickly talk about cinematography. This not being nominated in cinematography, like what they were able to capture on film is crazy to me. I mean, the nominees we have, All Quiet on the Western Front, it looks very cool. It's very like a 1917-esque nominee.
Kind of like a Dunkirk or like 1917.
Yeah, it's a lot of that sort of stuff. So it's kind of like a layup for this to be nominated. Tar, I guess, looked pretty cool. Now, Empire of Light, though, this is Sam Mendes and then Roger Deakins, the guys that did Skyfall, that did 1917. Deakins is a master. This movie was so lame or fine, perfectly fine. I don't remember anything about the cinematography being cool. I know you haven't seen it. It's not really worth seeking out. I mean, Olivia Colman is great, but...
Oh, it was the Olivia Colman movie. Okay.
Yeah. It's like she's schizophrenic. She works in a movie house. It's fine. Elvis cinematography, like, come on. That movie was all over the place. It's so just like flashing lights, very Baz Luhrmann, who I just actually kind of don't like as a director anymore. And then Bardo, Iñárritu movie, which, yeah, I love him, The Revenant, obviously. But this movie was, I couldn't finish it. It was just so all over the place. Just
That was the movie where he blamed everybody for their attention spans and like Marvel.
Exactly. It's just he uses this kind of a guy in place of himself. Whatever. It's just not that good. So yeah, usually cinematography is a fun category, and I have no idea who wins. I don't know who should win, and I really have no idea how I'm going to pick that one. So yeah, we're really bummed out that Maverick wasn't in there. I almost did a little parlay early bet there, cinematography, sound, film editing, just like with Dune. Like I thought Maverick was going to be the Dune, and I still like it for film editing and sound. That's all I think it might win.
Well, to button up our little chat, because I know we're going to come back in a month or so and do all of our picks. But to button up our chat, I would like to do a bet nomination in terms of what the bet could be. If you
don't. Okay.
Okay. So this year, because we've been talking so much about fake Elvis, I think one of us, should we lose, should have to become fake Elvis.
Oh, God.
So I think there would have to be some sort of costume purchase or rental, and then the audience would have to vote on a collection of just songs that we would have to karaoke live.
Another karaoke bet.
Another karaoke bet, but you would have to show up to the karaoke dressed up like Elvis and then sing the Elvis in karaoke. I'm engaged now, so there'll be lots of opportunities and in different events that we'll be sharing together this year, but yeah, we would have to build in some sort of live go to karaoke dressed like Elvis and sing an Elvis song.
This would be a perfect event at the wedding next year. Although
some sort of live go to karaoke dressed like Elvis and sing an Elvis song.
This would be a perfect event at the wedding next year. Although because next year is your wedding. Does that fall before it's the next
March,
Oscars?
March 9th. So it would be after next year's Oscars. But yeah, we could find some other, coming out to LA for the game so we can knock out the
right.
Both the bets from the last year. I'm assuming I'll probably lose again this year. So anyway.
I don't know.
One of us will have to do an Elvis song. What do you think about that?
I think that's horrifying and a good, because Elvis, for better or worse, has become our narrative just because it's our by far least favorite movie that's recognized. There's plenty of Elvis impersonators out there, that there's whole business around rentals of the costume. Yeah, man. What song are you even equipped to sing? I mean,
I think Hound Dog would be my,
oh yeah,
the audience should get to pick. We'll put a vote right and let the audience pick. But yeah, I think someone's dressing up like Elvis this year, going to a live karaoke event. Maybe we'll have them do two, maybe a front end of the night, and then hey, we're bringing Elvis back up.
Having to wear that costume all night is so embarrassing. So where I live, there's a karaoke bar with a stage, this old like Maverick Saloon. It's very front and center. That would be a good venue for that. I mean, I did lose the last karaoke bet to sing Marriage Story being alive. That's a real record scratch moment.
Mm-hmm. This will be, at least won't ruin the party as much.
No, I think it could be the life of the party if done right.
Cool. So now we go. There's the Oscar bet. It's in play this year. I will still cash in on me going to the Academy Awards Museum dressed up as Kurt Warner and trying to convince people that American Underdog Story should definitely be recognized within this museum. So that was the bet from last year that we just haven't had a chance to get out to LA yet. But it is, these bets don't need to be done the year of it. They just need to be done at some point. So.
You know, there's a case to be made where every year should just be who has to shit in a bucket.
Definitely our most famous bet. There's our initial Oscar takes and a chance to clean up some of these movies we've been meaning to talk about, and we'll be able to talk about it more when we fill in these ballots
for sure. Yeah, I'm do you consider this a down year? I mean, there's definitely a few standouts for me. I loved three movies for sure, and I guess the rest, it's I don't know. There's some fun ones like After Sun, Triangle of Sadness, I think are movies that will live on. Top Gun, obviously, but I think like last year, it's like Power of the Dog, Coda. Those movies have disappeared completely. I think maybe some of these will have more staying power. I don't know. Maybe a down year. Yeah. I don't know. Avatar, you got a lot of big tentpole stuff here, but whatever.
Yeah, Maverick will stand the test of time.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for hanging with us, guys. And Bob, good to kind of catch up on some of the stuff with you. And get back to your get back to your Any Given Sunday speech with your new business recruits.
All right. In case you guys had me as the business guy, that is correct. He's gonna go back to sneaking into movie theaters, and we'll see you guys later. Don't forget to wash your hands. Stay safe.
Music. See you down the road.
His name is James Cameron, the bravest pioneer. No budget too steep, no sea too deep. Who's that? It's him, James Cameron.
Systems are normal. You guys hearing the song okay up there?
James Cameron, explorer of the sea.
Yes, James, we hear the song.
Descending to 1,000 feet. I don't see the bar yet. Looks like it must have sunk pretty low.
With a dying thirst to be the first. Could it be? Yeah, it's him, James Cameron.